It's 7:06 a.m. this morning. If you were looking eastward, you would have seen the sun rise as Mia so beautifully painted that picture for us. In that moment as the sun begins to emerge, you see the light first and then you begin to see the big ball of flame rise and crest above the horizon. This morning there was a big cloud kind of in the way of obscuring it, so it took another minute or two. But, you know, when the sun rose this morning, it cast light upon everything. The world this morning was saturated in light as the sun woke up from its slumber. And as we were singing that song this morning, just then, 1,000 hallelujahs. As we're singing praise the name, as we are singing of the resurrection of Jesus, I see his name rise up above the horizon of each one of our lives. And like the sun rising above that line in the morning, the name of Jesus, when he lifts above our lives, when he gets lifted above our situations, when he gets lifted upon our world, his love saturates all things. And it's not until you take a moment to look away from a rising sun and you turn and you look westward and you see the impact of that sun on the world that it is bewildering at the incredible beauty of that light. And there is such truth in our lives this morning that as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that as he has come to life, he is risen above everything in our lives, and we behold that beauty, yet at the same time we look at the flood of love that has saturated the world. And we come with grateful hearts this morning to celebrate the truth that Jesus is risen, that his love is now all-pervading across planet Earth. It doesn't feel like it at times, and certainly doesn't look like it at times. But we are people who are of faith in the Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. And we come and celebrate that this morning. If you've got a Bible, open it to John 20. We'll get there in a minute. I'm just going to read it one verse for us just to get us thinking about where we're going today. And it's in verse 19 of John 20. It says this, that on the evening of that day, of the first day of the week, when the doors which were locked and the disciples were in that room for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." And today, friends, as we come together and worship God and to remember the greatest act of love and to reflect on the resurrection, we come to relish the truth that God stands among us. And if you have a print Bible or even a one on your phone and you're into circling or underscoring things, in that verse 19 of John 20, I want you just to underline or highlight or circle or whatever you like to do, stood among. That he stood among them. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been stood up? I mean, if you have, it's a terrible thing, right? That feeling of disappointment, the feeling of letdown, perhaps even feelings of frustration or even anger. Maybe if you've been stood up by somebody, arranged a meeting and they were a no-show, perhaps you felt betrayed by them. You know, if you've been on a first date or any date for that matter and you've put yourself out there, you've gone to the effort of organizing plans and you've considered what this person might like and enjoy and to have a great night out. You may have gone to all of the effort of buying a new outfit or having a haircut, and you've left home early enough to make sure you're there, and you turn up and you're waiting in the restaurant and you're that person awkwardly sitting on your own for those moments just waiting for your friend or date to turn up. And you keep looking at your watch or at your phone going, I wonder if they're coming. And just for them not to show up. I mean, maybe you've been stood up by a colleague or an associate from another company or within your industry and you were meeting for coffee. Perhaps there was an important business matter that needed dealing with, or perhaps there was something going on that you were catching up with a colleague about that you needed to, and they were a no-show. Maybe it's just friends catching up after school or on the weekend, and you had agreed on a time, a location, a place, who would bring what, only for them to not show up. I mean, I'm not going to point too many fingers at those in this room who have done that to me. I think Brooke did it on a Zoom meeting last week, just was a no-show. I'm pretty sure Foz has done it to me on a number of occasions. You know, I want us to see as we come to the Word of God this morning that God is not a God who stands us up. He is a God who stands among. Let me pray before we get into the Word. Father, thank you that through the whole narrative of Scripture, through the story that you have been telling throughout all of the pages of history, is a truth that you are with your people. And we remember just on Good Friday that we read in Jeremiah 31:31, that there is a new way coming, that there is a new covenant, a new way of knowing you. And that is that you will be our God and we will be your people, and that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we know that that is not always how it feels in life, but I pray as we see in your word this morning that that is truth, that you are a God who does not stand us up, but a God who stands among, in Jesus' name. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 20. It's going to be on the screen as well. Feel free to follow along. I read from the ESV version if you want to follow along word for word. Otherwise, do your best to keep up with the version that you have at hand. And here we go, the resurrection. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And Mary said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. They don't know where they have laid him." And so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter in his enthusiasm, and he reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Verse 11, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped in and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. And on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And when he had said these things, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld. You know, the moment that Jesus died and was buried, and for the days and for the hours that he was in the grave, this would have been for those who followed him and loved him so deeply, a moment of feeling stood up. Or in our Australian vernacular, this was a stitch up. Jesus had promised on many occasions and in a few different ways while that he was alive that he in fact would be with them. In John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. When Jesus is speaking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit after he ascended to heaven, he says, we will come, as in myself, the Father, Son, Spirit, together we will come and we will make our home with you. This is Jesus' own words to the disciples. In the next chapter in John 15, he uses a metaphor of a vine and branches to describe his relationship with his disciples, with his followers. An image that speaks of incredible nearness and closeness. That such is a vine and a branch, so are you and I. An inseparability, an intimacy, a sharing of life. Jesus' very last instructions to the disciples included a promise in the Great Commission, where he says, I want you to go and tell the world, baptize people, teach them all of my teachings. Hey guys, and never forget, he said to them, I will be with you until the very end. But here we have in John 20 so many people who would have felt alone while tending to his tomb, feeling worried, feeling distressed, feeling nervous. I'm sure the disciples, while they were in that locked room, were feeling anxious, were feeling uncertain. And all of these people and many more would have felt up in these hours and days of Jesus in the grave, stood up. That their expectations, their hopes, their dreams, they were dashed. And here they were, probably feeling like a child who in fact had been orphaned, alone, like a part of them was missing. It's likely that they didn't feel like a branch that was still connected to a vine, but sawn off, separated, harshly dealt with, torn apart by death, not feeling like the promise of his presence was all that real just now. Jesus was dead. And for Mary in that moment, not just dead, but gone elsewhere. It seemed that Jesus had stood them up. And in response to this, we see Mary sitting at Jesus' tomb weeping in the anguish and the grief and the despair that she was experiencing in these moments was profound. Perhaps the depth of you and I would not be able to grasp. Perhaps so, I'm unsure. We know the disciples went into hiding, locking themselves in a room for fear of what the religious leaders might do to them next for having association with Christ. Without question, they all would have felt abandoned, let down, like they were left to fend for themselves. But this, of course, friends, was not the case at all. For John records for us the truth that Jesus did not, in fact, stand them up. We see in the Word of God this morning that he came and he stood among them. And we see this in his appearance to Mary. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Guys, I don't recommend that you use that tact to a woman who seems upset. Not realizing it was Jesus, she thought she was having a chat with the lawnmower man, the guy from Jim's Mowing. She said in reply, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, if you've put him elsewhere, wherever you've laid him, let me know, because I will then go and get him. I will take him away." Mary was clearly in distress. This would have been for her a moment of deep anguish. Of Jesus dying 3 days ago, and now the despair of not being able to show him honor in his death would have been incredibly heartbreaking for her. What was taken from her was immense. She had lost a friend. Mary had lost a teacher, her Lord. And with him went her hope. Buried with him was her anticipation of a better life. Going to the grave with Jesus was also a sense of purpose that she would have had. In him went her identity to some degree. Would have been a sense of her calling in life, also going to the grave. No one had ever valued her like this before. Never would Mary have felt as dignified and as valued because of Jesus. And now that hope and that purpose and that meaning and that identity and that dignity and that value and that calling appeared as dead and buried as Jesus himself. But, as it turns out, it wasn't Jim. It was Jesus. And he said to her, "Mary, Mary," he calls her by name. And it is just an overwhelming thought that the presence of the Lord right here among this crowd of people who some you know, some you don't, that he would sit here and he would see what you are walking through in your life right now. Maybe it's all champagne, roses, and rainbows in life, and that's wonderful. Maybe it's really, really difficult right now. But either way, the risen Lord, he is among us. And he looks at you this morning. And like Mary in her moment of distress, he looks you square in the eyes. And he calls you by name. And the risen Christ sees us. He knows us. He said to her, "Mary," and she turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Now, Jesus did not stand Mary up. He stood among the garden and he stood with her. Jesus stood with her in her distress. Jesus stood with her in her anguish. Jesus stood with her in her grief. Jesus stood with her in her distress. Jesus stood with her while she lost her hope. Jesus stood for her with her as her faith seemed buried, while her dreams seemed dashed. And friends, I want to remind you of the good news of God among us this morning. That in your distress, in your moments of grief, in your moments of hardship, in the moments of life where you feel like your dreams and your purpose, perhaps your identity, perhaps feeling like something has been stolen from you, unfairly taken from you, removed from you for whatever reason in life, that Jesus stands right there in the midst of all of those things. In your unanswered questions, perhaps he seems silent, or perhaps in your prayers he seems muted. but the resurrection of Christ is all the evidence we need to know that by the goodness of God, He stands among us. The reality of the resurrection, the victory that Jesus won over death, means that you are not alone in deserts of despair, but He is with you in the garden of His goodness and His grace. And that is wonderful news. Jesus literally stood among Mary's most difficult feelings, her most harshest emotions, her most difficult moments. Jesus did not stand her up. Jesus stood with her. And that's the power of the good news of Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus has indeed risen, that He is standing with us right here and right now in whatever terrain in life that you are currently traversing, whether hills or valleys, whether night or day, whether it's a bluebird sky day like this or it's a rainy, stormy squall, Jesus' promise remains that He is with you. And to ensure that this was no mistake, that Jesus being alive was not just an apparition, that this was not just a figment of Mary's imagination, Jesus then goes on to appear to others. And we see in this text that some of those others are the disciples. As John tells us that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. These disciples had given up everything to follow Jesus. They had given up their jobs. They had given up their families. They had given up their reputations. They had walked away from security. They had walked away from relative comfort. They had walked away from anything certain in life. They had gone all in on Jesus, pushing all of their chips to the middle of the table, laying out their hand and saying, "I'm all in on this guy." Following Him from town to town, learning from Him, being instructed by Him, seeing how His relationship with God shaped His own life and wanting that. They were learning the rhythms of an unhurried life, being trained for a purposeful life. They were growing in faith and confidence in God's power and seeing things happen in the power of Jesus' ministry that not in a gazillion years they ever would have seen as taxmen and fishermen. Leaving everything to follow Jesus was the best decision they had ever made, so it seemed. Now, in the weeks and days leading up to Jesus' death, no doubt they would have begun to question some things as the heat was being turned up on Jesus. Have we made the right decision? Was leaving everything really a good idea? Hey guys, I'm not sure whether you're aware of it, but things are getting pretty intense around here. Are we still in? Or should we get out? Should we quit while we're ahead? Because it just feels like things are getting a bit gnarly. And as Jesus was dragged before the crowds and tested and tried and beaten and harassed and mocked and scorned and led away to suffer to the very end upon the cross, no doubt the disciples began fearing that this too might be their end. To watch Him draw the last painstaking breath and see His body succumb to the wounds of affliction leveled upon Him must have seeded a sense of fear within them like never before. Will this too be our end? The disciples would have considered. And so they ran and they hid and they locked themselves in a room out of arm's reach of the people who had the power and the precedence to end their very existence. In that room at first, they was afraid. They was petrified. Kept thinking about how they could never live without Jesus by their side. But they grew strong. They were learning how to get along. I'm not going to sing it. But now He's back. From outer space. He just walked in to find them there with that sad look upon their face. They should have changed the stupid lock. They should have made him leave his key. I'm finding this really entertaining, by the way. If they'd known just for 1 second that he'd be back. Oh, dear. And he was. He was back. He was back into a room, starved of hope, where the air was rancid with the stench of fear, where these men were hiding, suffocating in the air of their own terror. They no doubt would have felt alone, frustrated, confused, helpless, perhaps betrayed. Most certainly these disciples would have felt stood up. But again, John tells us the truth. Jesus came and stood among them. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when they felt stood up, Jesus stood among. He stood among them in their fear. He stood among them in their doubt. He stood among them in their shame. He stood among them in their regrets. He stood among them in their frustration. And he declared to their tired souls, "Peace be with you." And this, friends, is what the resurrection offers you and I, is peace. Peace that in our loneliness we are in fact seen. Peace that in our fear we can have reassurance. Peace that in our doubts we can have hope. Peace that in our shame we have forgiveness. Peace that in our regrets we are made righteous. Peace that in our frustrations we are no longer standing alone. Peace that there is eternal truth that when we feel stood up, Jesus is standing among us. You know, in the world that we are living in right now, with the wars that are being waged between nations, and the wars that are being waged between cultures, the loss of life, the loss of identity, the loss of community, the loss in our world is extravagant. We need Jesus to stand among the loss of our world and say, "Peace be with you." In the stress and anxiety caused by difficult financial realities for people at the moment, people need peace. In the darkness of people's depression and the heaviness of the daily wrestle with fluctuating mental health, there is a peace that is needed like never before in our world. With the bombardment and the consistency and constancy of the barrage of bad news filling the screens that are before us and the fear that comes from that, friends, we need peace. I need peace. Jesus' resurrection made possible the reality in which we place our hope is that God is who God has always been, Emmanuel, God with us. I'll invite the worship team to come back up and we're going to take communion in a moment. Maybe you feel like you're sitting in that cafe of life at the moment, feeling like you've been stood up. Like at some point, let's stand together. God has made an appointment with you, maybe it has felt. And with some eagerness or even desperation, you have received that. And you've turned up and maybe you feel like you're still sitting there alone, looking at your watch going, "Where's God? Is he coming? Is he here?" Or maybe you're facing a situation in life at the moment and you may be asking those two very real questions. Where is God? Is he here? And maybe there's something within you that feels like, "And God has stood me up." I don't want to discount the fact that that may be real for you right now in what you're facing and what you're walking through in life. I mean, perhaps you're trying to get on with it as though there's nothing to see here. You know, that's why people do that thing when they're stood up. They pull out their phone, they look at their watch, they get the menu out. They try and convince themselves and convince others, no, everything's all right here. I'm meant to be on my own. I'm meant to be alone. I haven't been stood up. I'm just having dinner for one. You know, I feel it at times. There is disappointment and there is anguish. And there's things that we look at in life that cause us to despair, to want to give up, to not want to be here anymore, to want to say, yeah, God's cool, but not real. Surely if He was, this would be different. But friends, the promise and the reality in which we now live because of the victory of Jesus over death is that He is with us. He is God among us. He came from heaven to earth as God's Son, entering the world as a baby, born of a virgin, bearing the name Emmanuel, God with us. He lived a perfect life. There was no sin found in Him. He went to a cross, and on that cross He took your sin and He took my sin. He took all the awful things done to you and He took all of the awful things done to me, and He finished with them once and for all. And He said on the cross, it has been paid, it is finished, and God's wrath moved on. And in place of our brokenness, He has given us His righteousness. And then after death, He rose again to life, bodily and physically, 3 days later. And then shortly after that, He sent His Holy Spirit to come and to comfort and guide His people and ascended into heaven. And one day He will come back, bodily and physically, and make all things right in this world again. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, and this is God speaking to us today, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So will you knock at that door? Stand at the door and knock. If you hear His voice this morning, respond to it. Respond to Him. He'll get up from His chair and He'll come to that door and He will open that door and He will invite you in. And He has a table set, prepared. You're not stood up. He's made a table for you in His house. And He said, come over, come in. And He will eat with you and He will be with you. In Christ, everything has changed, but this has not. That He is still Emmanuel, God with us. He has not stood us up. He stands among, He is at the table saying, I am here, peace with you. And so I invite you this morning, everyone is welcome to the table to take juice and to take bread, and to be reminded this morning of the eternal truth that God is with us. And these emblems, the juice and the bread, are symbolic of Jesus' sacrifice, what He gave, what it cost Him. That we could live in the reality of God's eternal presence with us now and forever. That in the breaking down of His body and in the spilling of His blood, in Him giving His very life for us, we now stand in this place of love and joy and redemption. And this is an act of remembrance where we come with grateful hearts, saying, God, we couldn't have achieved this on our own, only by Your power, only by Your truth, only through sending Yourself into our world to live and to suffer and to die and to beat death and kick it in the pants, that we stand now forgiven, redeemed, made whole. And so I invite you down, grab a little cup and a little piece of bread and return to your seat. Hold on to them and we'll take communion together in just a moment. So come on down. You may feel like you're not worthy at this table, but I can tell you this morning that you are. You may feel like you don't belong in this room, but I can tell you that you do. You may feel like you are not worthy of what Jesus has given for you, but I tell you that you are. People may have told you why you don't belong at this table. But Jesus stands among us today to remind you of the very reasons why you do belong. It's because he's got love in his eyes, friends. He stares down both barrels with nothing but love in his eyes. He looks upon you and tells you this morning, you are loved, you're chosen, you're mine, you're part of a new family now. This meal is that it's a meal for imperfect people. I, for which, am one of those. That the cross of Jesus makes equals of us all. And we come all together this morning recognizing our need for a Savior and realizing that there is in no other name on earth or under heaven by which we can find that hope and that freedom and that salvation. And so, friends, let's eat the bread this morning to remember what was given for us. Jesus. Cup and we'll be reminded that the lifeblood that was taken from Jesus on our behalf, the power of God restored in his death, and he was brought back to life again. And so in the drinking of the cup, we remember the life that was given for us, so that we may also enjoy and relish in the truth that there is new life. And in the midst of death, God breathes new life, and that is true of my heart. He's done that in me, and he's done that in you, and he can do that in you again and again and again. So we drink the cup to new life. Let's stand and we'll worship one more song together, and Chrissy will come and close out our service in just a few moments' time.